Good day, friends. We come to you again, and we are studying together in the book of Genesis, and we're in the 41st chapter. We're dealing here with the exaltation of Joseph, the one who was the beloved son of Jacob. And you remember in the preceding lessons we've had where Joseph was cast into prison, and while he's in prison, he's numbered with the malefactors, numbered with the transgressors. And these two men, the butler and the baker, they have their dreams. And the Lord has put into the mind of Joseph how to interpret those dreams which came to pass, just as he said. The butler was restored to his position, and the baker was executed. But the butler forgot all about Joseph until one day Pharaoh had a dream. And we're in the 41st chapter now. Pharaoh had a dream. And you remember the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, says Proverbs 21:1. And the wise men are very helpless. They can't interpret the dream. They're stuck. Again, we come back to the truth which I was closing with in our last lesson. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The Spirit is the one, the Holy Spirit is the one who searches the deep things of God. But there must be an open heart and an open mind. God is more willing to reveal himself to human hearts than we can realize. I want you to know this. That when we mean business with God, God means business with us. You can't fool God. And if you want to know the things of God and really come into a relationship with God, God is more willing for that than you are. And how glad I am he's made that provision. The Spirit of God will take the things of the Lord Jesus Christ and show them unto you. God wants you to know. That's why we have the Word of God. God has communicated this to us in his Word, in the Spirit of God, the author of Scripture. Although he used man, he really is the author of Scripture, and he will reveal to you the wonderful things concerning himself. Now, in verses 9 to 13 of chapter 41, we have where the butler reminds himself of Joseph. And you remember, Joseph was brought out of prison. I'm ever reminded of Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Or Ephesians 1:11, God works all things out after the counsel of his own will. I said in one of the preceding lessons that God will always vindicate his people. And he'll do it in his own time. And he's always on time. Mark that. We want to hurry God up. But God's always on time. I must remind you again that in Galatians chapter 4, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman. Our Savior came into the human race at exactly the right time. And he died at the right time, as Romans chapter 5, verse 6 says. When we were yet without strength at the right time, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And he's going to come back again at the right time. You can't set dates. No man can tell you when the Lord's coming. He may come today. God's always on time. And sometimes we get fussed up a little bit, you know, all of us. We go through certain times of stress and strain, and we wish the Lord would hurry up and come. Well, the Lord knows all about that, and even those times of stress and strain are part of God's program for fitting you and me to enjoy him more and more, even through eternity. I tell you, God doesn't waste time. He doesn't wake a stroke either. And he works all things out after the counsel of his own will. So here's dear Joseph. He's in jail. And the butler has forgotten him. So he told Pharaoh. So he's brought. And in verses 14 to 24, we have where Joseph is delivered out of prison. And I want you to mark his utter dependence upon God. Listen to it. Verse 16. When Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there's none that can interpret it. I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Verse 25. And Joseph said to Pharaoh, The dream of Pharaoh is one. God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. You go down to verse 28. This is a thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he hath showed it unto Pharaoh. Go down to verse 32. That the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. What I'm trying to get to you here is that Joseph himself gives to us this question of that everything is in the hands of God. He was delivered by the hand of God out of prison, and now he is used by God to interpret the dreams. So you have from verses 25 to 36, he's the revealer of secrets. But I want you to get this into your mind. It's not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. The thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Here you have Joseph as the revealer of secrets, and he interprets the dream in 25 and 28 and so on. He interprets the dream, and he gives God all the glory. In other words, he put God first. Do you? Do I? You know, when you look at this story, you have to recognize the fact that here's a man who has gone through all kinds of suffering, and yet he has not lost his one great passion to live for God. The circumstances around him, the people among whom he worked and lived, the corruption of the day, the idolatry of the day, the looseness of a king's court, the whole business. A man stands alone, and he stands for God. And at the right time, God uses him. And he recognizes the fact that it's not him that is doing it, but it's God who's doing it. May I tell you, my friends, today, and I'm speaking off the cuff here on this matter, God's looking for such kind of men today. God's looking for men today. Now, remember, Joseph is really a young man. He's just a young man. He's not 30 yet. In fact, it's when he's given the job of being over the whole nation. He's just 30 years of age. God's looking for young men, as well as older men. But God's looking for men who will put Christ first in their lives, who will put God first. And again, I say there is no life comparable to that life where he's the center of attraction. He's the object of your love and devotion and your service. You know, I oftentimes say to my classes, we believe we're children of God. We don't take advantage of it. We claim we have access into the presence of God, but we don't take advantage of it. Here's a spring break at school. What do kids do? They love to go home. To go home. Throw their hat in the corner, go in the kitchen, open the refrigerator door, see what's in there, run around. They're home. It's the past mom. They put their arm around mom, give her a kiss. Do the same thing with dad. They're home. My, they've been looking forward to it for weeks. to go home. They belong to family. And if I were to go home with them, I'd sit on a chair. They would run around the house. It's not my home. I'm not a child in the family. I'm a guest. Ah, listen, my Christian friend, you're a child of one who is God. You belong to Him. He's your Father. And you have an open door to the very presence of God. And I don't care what your circumstances are, or what the situation is around where you work or where you live. God wants you, God wants me, to stand out for Him. That doesn't mean you've got to go out preaching. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about your life. A transformed life speaks far more than even some preaching. Is yours a transformed life? Paul could say, I no longer live, but Christ liveth in me. And when I see Joseph here, taken out of prison, all that he went through, he didn't come in there with his head up and say, yes, I can interpret your dream. He didn't say that. He just said, God hath showed Pharaoh what he's going to do. It's not in me. God is the one who shall have to give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And he gave the glory to God. Oh, that we Christians today in this century, in America here especially, with all the blessings God has showered upon us, we're so occupied with the materialistic side of things, so occupied with people, and so occupied with our culture and our great nation, we have so little time for God. And we're the losers. We're the losers. Why do you think God made man? Why do you think God redeemed man, sinful man, from his sin, that he might have somebody with whom he can have fellowship? Just like he did with Moses in Exodus, you remember, 33, and God talked with Moses face to face. And God came down and talked to Abraham. Shall I hide from Abraham the thing I'm going to do? God wants to talk to you, and He wants you to talk to Him. The great desire of the heart of God is for your fellowship and my fellowship. I can't get away from it. I can't get away from telling you about it, because we need to be told over and over and over again, because we become so involved in things, in people, in programs, in service. We miss Him. We miss Him. I like that little picture of Mary of Bethany in Luke 10 at the end of the chapter. She sat at His feet for instruction, and Jesus said, Mary hath chosen that good part, occupation with the person of Christ. I'm not surprised when it comes to John chapter 12. She poured her ointment on His feet. She was never understood by the disciples. This is a waste. You can't waste things on the Savior. What you give to the Savior, my friend, is put in heaven's bankroll. It's right on the books of the Bank of Heaven. Oh, listen to me. God looks for men and women today who will walk with Him in the midst of our culture, in the midst of our situation, wherever we are. He wants you to walk with Him. Here's a man absolutely alone. His family's over there in Canaan. His father's an old man. His brothers are evil. And look at what Joseph's gone through, and he's still standing for God. There's no excuse for me, and there's no excuse for you. We ought to stand for God wherever we are. So you have this. And you not only interpret the dream that there was going to be 7 years of plenty, and there's going to be 7 years of famine. He not only told what was going to happen through the 14 years, but he counseled them in verses 33 to 36. Listen to what he says. He uses his head. This is good thing. Now, the facts were there was going to be 7 years of plenty, and then there's going to be 7 years of famine. Now, what would you do? What would you do? Well, Joseph gives some good advice to Pharaoh. Listen to it. Now therefore, verse 33, therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this. Let him appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the 7 years of plenty. Let them gather all the food of those good years that come. Let them lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh. Let them keep food in the cities, and that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. That's just plain good common sense. You know, God expects us to use our heads. There's some things we don't know that he will reveal. Joseph didn't know what the dream was until Pharaoh told him. And then God gave to Joseph the interpretation of the dream. Now what will you do now? Now you've got the facts. There are going to be 7 years of plenty, going to be 7 years of famine. What are you going to do? Use your head. Use the gifts God's given to you. So he counseled them. Now verse 37 of 57. Joseph is exalted to the throne. Notice in verse 38 how he astonishes them. The thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this is? A man in whom the Spirit of God is. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, forasmuch as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as you are. So you're going to be over my house, and according to your word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than now. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. After suffering comes glory. Notice what he says now. In verse 38, can we find such a man as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? This man who is discreet and wise? You know, I think of our Savior on that in John chapter 7, 46. Do you remember they said when they sent the policeman to take Jesus prisoner? And they stood by and listened to Jesus teaching the people in the synagogue, in Solomon's porch in the temple. And you know what the report was when they came back? Never man spake like this man. No. Never anybody has ever spoken like the Savior. But you have here Joseph from shame to glory. And I'm reminded of our Savior. I may be allowed to quote. You remember Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9? We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory. Or you have it in the book of Hebrews chapter 1. And by the way, it comes to my mind that four times in Hebrews we have this. In chapter 1, verse 3, and chapter 8, verse 1, and chapter 10, verse 12, chapter 12, verse 2. Do you remember chapter 1, verse 3? When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. This man by one sacrifice for sins forever sat down at the right hand of God. He despised the shame, sat down at the right hand of God. He endured the cross and despised the shame. Never sat down at the right hand of God. You ever think of it? My, what a marvelous thing. From shame to glory. I'm thinking again of Philippians 2. Thou hast given him a name that's above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You see, he put him on his throne. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And he made him ride his chariot and made everybody bow the knee to Joseph. You read that as you go on down through the chapter, down through verse 44. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, And without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years of age when he stood before Pharaoh. And I want to stop right here. Allow me to do it. He sat upon another throne. Everyone bowed the knee to him. You know, I'm thinking of that verse in Revelation 3:21, where Jesus said to the overcomer in the church of Christ, to him that overcometh, while I allow him to sit upon in my throne, as I have already sat down with my Father in his throne. Oh, to me, one of the most astounding things in all the universe is there's a man at God's right hand sitting upon the throne of glory. A real man. You mean a real man in heaven? Yes, my friend, a real man in heaven. The man who was nailed to the cross for your sins and my sins, was buried, was raised again from the dead, and is seated upon the throne of glory, having all authority. As our Lord could say in Matthew 28, all authority is mine in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and disciple all nations. He has all authority, as Revelation 1 says. He has authority over death and over hell. And he's seated upon his Father's throne, working out his own purpose and plan in the world through the church. Oh, how wonderful it is to have a Savior who's no longer on a cross, but on the throne. No longer in a tomb, but in the glory. And how wonderful it is to know that you and I have absolute access to that throne. Oh, my Christian friend, let me plead with you today to acknowledge him as Lord, as Savior. When I think of who he is and what he is, how we Christians fail him in giving him his rightful place. He's on the throne of God, and he's working all things out after the counsel of his own will. And he uses you and me as the instruments for the outworking of that counsel. Now, may you walk with God today. May you be God's man, God's woman today, right wherever you live, whoever you are. And may he be glorified and magnified in your life and in my life this day. And we pray this in the name of our precious Savior. The Lord bless you.